Tonight, we're going to be talking, I call the lesson Remember. You're going to see why. And if you have your Bible open to Ezekiel, it just caught my attention in reading some things and some things we have to remember. When Ezekiel is writing this, people of God are a very short time about to be overtaken by foreign countries. A lot of them are going to be killed. And he lets them know that. But he tells them there's going to be a remnant that's going to be spared. But he has no clue where this remnant's going to end up. You're going to be scattered everywhere. But whenever you are taken captive, this remnant, and you find yourself in foreign countries with foreign languages, then you're going to remember. You're going to remember several things, and he's going to make that plain. In Ezekiel chapter 6, beginning in verse 8 that was read moments ago, we see the same thing that I just said spoken. However, I will leave a remnant, for you will have those who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered among the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes which played the harlot after their idols. And I want to stop right here. Once they go captive, they're going to be told there are going to be two things that they remember. And the first thing he tells us at the first part of verse 9, you will remember me. And you're going to be remembering me, how you hurt me, God, and what you did to me. And the way they hurt God, he says, he called them, they had adulterous hearts who turned away, eyes which played the harlot after other idols. And it always seems to be, when you're called to remember something, people of God always have had a problem staying and listening to God. The problem is, and there is no difference today, people of God go and they join themselves up with other things that God doesn't call them to do. And that's why God calls them adulterous. You know, anytime you join yourself to someone that is other than your spouse, you're an adulterer. Anytime you join yourself to something else other than what God speaks, you've committed adultery against Him. Oh, you may still believe in God. You may make that claim. Oh, but you got yourself in a mess. And He said, you're going to remember me. You see, God is causing this disaster. And when disasters come in the lives of people, His people, it's to do one thing. It's to bring people of God back to God. That's why things sometimes happen, you know. They've been unfaithful, as I was talking about adultery. They've committed adultery by joining themselves to these ideas of the people of other nations around. And God, you know, He's just upset. And He said, I'm going to let it happen. He's been sending the prophets to them. They've been preaching. Nobody's paying attention. I feel like that sometime. I'll just tell you. The people of God just don't listen. And then when they get in trouble, it's too late. And then they remember. I've watched people go through divorces. Oh, it's painful. It is so painful. And they agonize. And they hurt. And you know, the pain can last for years because they severed a relationship that they poured so much of their life in. And they end up like this. Well, I wonder if God has feelings. God emptied His Son on our account. And we take on wrong attitudes, or we take on wrong actions. Or we go out and we just invite the religious world, be part of us. We want to be part of you. And God, oh, He's pained. And He said, you know, you keep it up, I'm going to destroy you. There's going to be some misery coming. And then you will remember Me. But there's a second thing they're going to remember. Look at the end of verse 9. And they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they have committed, for all their abominations. The second thing they will remember, they loathe themselves. I mean, have you ever done something? And when you did it, and after it was done, or, you know, you turn around, oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, I could just kick myself. Oh, you know, and how we react to us, you loathe yourself. Well, that was going to be the second remembering. They were going to loathe what they did. They were going to loathe themselves for how bad they had turned out. And then they'll remember, through the loathing, they will remember the opportunities that God gave them before it ended up here. A lot of times when people go into disasters, or, you know, and I'm using the term disaster because that's what happens when something goes on in our lives that's really difficult. It can be a disaster. And you know, when people are going through a disaster, they blame other people. Well, I wouldn't be here I wouldn't be here if this hadn't. They blame others. Somewhere along the road, somewhere, someone's got to stop and realize you are responsible personally. The other person is responsible for themselves, not you. And so you remember how loathsome you are because you've committed evil. And you know it. And they know it. You had a good direction in your life and you took another path. Part of the remembering of being loathsome is you regret. Can't believe I ever did that. And then he goes in verse 10, then they will know I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster upon them. Then they will know God keeps His word. God says, you go join yourself with other things that are not from me, you're going to pay a price. God said, you go other ways other than listening to my word, you will pay a price. God said, you hold to me with all of your heart, and don't you give your heart to anybody else, or you will pay a price. God's word is not in vain. And brethren, we need to hear that. His word is true. And he says here at 10, I have not said in vain. What God speaks is what God wants, is what God does. Well, let's take this a little more personal. Wives, Some of our wives are living with their husband and he's disobedient to the word. What do you do? God's word's not in vain. He tells the wives, even if your husband's disobedient to the word, they will be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. As they observe your chaste, your purity, and respectful behavior. And I want the wives to work on the quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Your husband is disobedient to the word. Wives, this is what I want you to do. If you want to win them, work on you. Work on chaste. Work on respectful behavior. Work on a gentle and quiet spirit. Not a loud, obnoxious, nagging. The word of the Lord doesn't speak in vain. He said this is the way to do it. But what are the many times wives do when they're in with a disobedient husband? They think that they have to do something to corral him. Lord says, this is what I want you to do. And husbands, what if you live with a wife and she's disobedient to the word? What do you do with her? You nag her, stay on her. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 29, the word of the Lord is not in vain. Husbands, I want you to love your wife just as Christ loves the church and gave Himself for her. Yeah, but she's this away. I want you to love as Christ. You want to go find out another way to do it? You want to go find another idea? You want to go read the latest fad, the latest thing about marriage and see what they have to say? Then you're going to end up committing adultery with the Lord. I want a husband to love their wife like Christ no matter what she's acting like. He doesn't say she'll act good or bad. Here's what I want you to do, because Christ loves the church. That's me. That's you. And you know what? Sometimes I don't act good. And yet He still continues to try to reach me through His love. And He gives up of Himself to me. Yeah. But you see, when you start following the ideas of other people, oh, you're going to mess it up. And then when it ends in disaster, when it ends, then you're going to remember, if only I had done that. Brethren, since I'm using the husband and wife illustration, why do people let their marriage get into shambles before they do something to correct it? Shouldn't we be correcting it way back here so it never gets there? And what about our children? I mean, we want to make sure our children are schooled. And I'm not telling you don't you get them schooled. But we make sure they get their school, they get their homework, they do this, they do that. And they end up, and when they get to be young adults, and it generally starts in late teens, when they get to be that away, they want nothing to do with God. And then you lose your family, your children that you reared, and you lose them to the world. And then you remember, I wished I would have done this. I wished I would have done that. And you begin to loathe yourself because you know I didn't take advantage. And you young families that have children, You need to listen to the older adults that have lost their children to the world. And I'm telling you, they'll tell you what you need to do. School will come. Their grades will be there. But they've got to have a mother and father step up to the plate and teach them the will of God, that God comes first. I was looking this morning. I started to say something, I didn't. But I wanted you to see how full we were this morning. We had a large crowd. Where are they tonight? Look around. Just look around. Where are they? And then we have a Bible study here in the middle of the week. The Lord doesn't say to be there. It's not a command. But where are people want to coming back together to learn something about God? And then one day disaster's going to hit. And they're going to be asking, why did this happen to me? They lose their children. Their children grow up and have very little value within the body of Christ. And they're going to remember then, and it's too late. That's what He's calling them to here. Come back with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 14. You see, God said, I didn't speak my word in vain. God's word is intended to be heeded. You can't just take God's word as something frivolous and not respond to it without paying a price. In Numbers chapter 14, they've sent the spies into Canaan. You remember the 12 spies come back? 10 of them give a bad report. Two fellows, Joshua and Caleb, they tell the people, we can do it. We can do it according to the will of God. Look at verse 8 of Numbers 14. He said, if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Now notice the end of 9. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. I mean, here they're pleading to the, let's go. Let's do it. This land God promised, it's ours. It's a great land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go get it. Look at how the people respond. I mean, if you think or hear the message that, you know what, God's removed their protection, boy, what would that tell you? Let's go on in. Joshua and Caleb been told by Moses, go on into that place. God's moved their protection. He knows it. Look at verse 10. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. How did they react to the word of the Lord? I don't like what you say. I don't like anything I hear. Stone them with stones. Moses has to intercede for them because God is about to strike down a whole multitude of people. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. He's about to strike them because they're not listening. His word is not in vain. Move on down with me to verse 22 of 14. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, I mean, they were led out of captivity by the power of God. They saw 10 plagues. You know, they got Bible correspondence courses right there. Egypt did. And they got set free. And you know what the people of God never did during their bondage? They didn't do anything except listen to the word of the Lord. His word's not in vain. Disaster's coming. You get the blood on the doorpost as a final thing, or your family's going to die. Your firstborn's going to die. The cattle's going to die. You're going to have a mess here. And he said, look at the signs that was performed before their eyes. And then they let them out and they went through the sea and they watched the cloud of a pillar of fire come down between them and this great Egyptian. They watched all the things of God. And he's reminding them of that here in 22. But look at the middle of verse 22. Yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. 10 times. 10 times they've rebelled against the Word of God. And he said, you hadn't listened to my voice yet. It has been a known factor. It's part of the way they live. That here they were always ignoring God, even though God delivered them. Even though truth came, they continued to wander back over here. And 10 times, you've not listened to my voice, verse 23. Shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor any of those who spurned me see it. The result, God turns them away. Yeah, I'm spelling disaster for you. You've seen all of these things. You know all of these things. And you know what? You're going to have 40 years of wandering out in a desert. Now you can remember why you're out there. Because you spurned the word of the Lord. God does not take to His people not listening to His voice. Never does He take to that. Well, knowing that, come over to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. And the psalmist picks up on this very place that we just ended in Numbers. And look at what he says. Psalm chapter 78, look at verse 40. He says, how often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Oh, in the wilderness, when God sent them away from His promises, now in the wilderness, they're still grieving Him. You know what they don't remember? They've never remembered one thing about how God saved them out of Egyptian bondage. They never remembered the promise of giving them to this land. They've never remembered that now they're in the wilderness, they're wandering around out there. They haven't remembered, and now you got 40 years. The reason you're in the mess you are is you forgot to remember God, and you have forgot to remember His Word, and now you can walk around and you can think, yeah, you've spurned the Lord, and it's grieved His heart. But look at verse 41. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. You know how you tempt God? Just don't listen to His Word. Don't pay attention. And is that me? Is that you? And it pained God. God can be pained. Now, what is He going to do with people He's rescued? And they still don't listen. Well, it's easy to forget the Word of the Lord. Come over to Ephesians 4. Let's make some quick applications for us. You and I can pain God. You and I can bring difficulties on ourselves by not listening to the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 29. Verses we're familiar with. but we don't apply them. 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. When you're in a difficult situation, you better put some thought to the words you're about to use. And to sling mud at the other person in a situation, you better think of choice words that build up the situation and not tear it down. You need to work on things that help and not hurt. And how many times, and since I've using marriage and we're using children, how many times do we get in a tiff with our mate? You're so stupid. Why are you ignorant? Why don't you ever listen to me? And we start slinging. Where is the grace to help in the need of the moment? When can we pay attention to the Word of God? And He says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. None at all. And how easy is it to just react? It's easy. And then look at verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know what your words do whenever you're in a situation? By the words you use can grieve the Holy Spirit. Just as God was pained by Israel back there in that Old Testament, you and I can grieve the Spirit of God. And He says, by whom you were sealed. You know, if we were to back up and time won't allow us in verse 26 and 27, you know how to grieve the Spirit of God? You let anger reside in your heart. You go to bed tonight angry with your mate. You go to bed angry at another person. You go to bed being angry. Don't you let the sun go down on your wrath. You will grieve the Spirit of God and you give the devil an opportunity. Don't you lie to one another. Back in verse 25, that grieves the Spirit of God when you lie to one another. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be a person that steals any longer. You want to be a person, you work with your own hands, so you've got something to share with others in need. That's what He says in verse 28. Because all of those things combine. The Lord doesn't speak in vain. And if you don't pay attention to that, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is your seal for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God is the only one that stands between you and eternity. Because He is your seal. He is the stamp of approval. Ephesians 1:14. He is the pledge of your salvation. That God gave you His Spirit, and when it comes to the end of time, there is one thing God's going to be seeing. Does His Spirit lay claim to you, or have you grieved Him and put Him out? Boy, I can do that real quick. You got to remember. You have to remember situations. You have to remember what God calls us to do. That's what all of this is about. You need to remember. Let me give you another one. Come back to Revelation chapter 2. I just want one verse out of chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we're talking about the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the most spiritual congregations in all the New Testament for many years. But then, at the end of the close of the writing of the New Testament, the congregation had got off track. And I want you to look, verse 5. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. The deeds that they did at first. Why is it people do so well and then they back off? He said, you better remember. You better remember the deeds you did at first, and there's a tie to it. You want disaster? My word's not in vain. Look at the middle of verse 5. Or else, I am coming to you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. If you're not going to remember what you're capable of doing, we're going to pull the lampstand out. You can call yourself the church till the day you die. But if God removes the lampstand because people are being lazy, they're not doing what they're capable of, your lamp's going out. And God can do it, you know. And He says, you better remember now. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 1. This is the church at Sardis. To the angel of the church at Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Oh, you have a name. How many people live on a name? I mean, you know, we could be a congregation here where everybody praises us. I mean, we could have people from all around this area praise the congregation at Fairgrounds Road, Jefferson City. Oh, we got a name and we got a reputation out there. Just because you have a name does not mean you're alive. No, Jesus sees it much differently. You have a name, you're alive. Jesus said, I know what's going on. You're dead. You're dead. You may look alive to other people. And that's what some people do within the church. They're so busy and they're doing everything. You know what Christianity's really about? I'll throw this on the side. This will be free. You know what true Christianity is about? It's about the heart. It's about you changing you. You in your heart. You becoming like Jesus in your heart. We focus too much external and not enough internal to becoming what Jesus wants us to become. Oh, yeah. Why do you think all the verses Jesus was teaching about the heart? Why do you think all those verses are there about an old self, new self, changing from within? And a lot of times we come across and we look to others, we're alive. Jesus said, I see a different story. Because you're not paying attention to me anymore. Look at verse 2. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in sight of my God. See, the deeds completed in God's sight, whatever He wants. So, verse 3, remember what you've received and heard, and keep it and repent. Notice what He tells them to remember. Remember what you've received and heard. Repent. Keep it. What did you receive and hear? There's a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And He gave Himself in your place for your sins to set you free. And if I were to ask your hands tonight, I bet every person in this building would raise their hand and says, yeah, I remember that. You remember that day? You can always have a place to get back. Anytime you start wandering off scale, anytime you start going off in other places and you find yourself over and you're thinking, man, it's just not, I just don't have what I used to have. It just doesn't stir me like, you can remember and get back to the cross. There's always a starting point with the Lord. You and I have always got a starting place. Boy, I can remember in my past, sometimes I've got myself so messed up and I didn't know if I was coming or going. And, you know, the only thing you can do is fall down and repent to the Lord Jesus and, you know, come back to the cross and say, listen, I know where it starts right here. I can remember that. And if you'll remember that and start walking with Jesus again, just like the day you came and were immersed into Him, that day can happen all over again if you just remember what that was about. Otherwise, look at the end of verse 3. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come. Disaster's coming. And I don't speak in vain, God says. And you need to remember. You always need to remember. Anytime when you're in trouble, remember there is an answer. Remember there's a direction to go to solve your problem and get back and move on it. But if you don't, you want the Lord to walk away? I want you to remember Israel. I want you to remember Israel, and I want you to remember how God freed them, as we talked a while ago, and how God set them on course. Where do you think He was leading them out of Egyptian bondage? He was leading them into the land He had sworn to Abraham, and I'm going to give it to you. You're going to get to walk into this country, this huge area, and it's yours. I'm going to give that to you. Remember that. But remember where they ended up? In the wilderness. And you remember why they ended up in the wilderness? They didn't take the word of the Lord seriously. They didn't listen to the word of the Lord. And they ended up in the wilderness. That wasn't God's choice. God's choice was a land of milk and honey. They, not remembering, brought disaster, and they ended up in the wilderness. And I want you to remember Israel. How they were destroyed by other nations and the people of God were scattered. Could any of that been avoided? Sure, they'd have remembered. And then for you and me, remember, where is God trying to take you? Where is He? Is God trying to take you to disasters, to hurts? No. He's taken me to heaven. Remember that. And I don't want to stray away from what He has said and believe in vain. And when you start painting God, oh, it grieves Him so to have to destroy. But God can be touched every time you remember. When you get off, God can be touched. Ah, you remembered. And the covenant stays intact. I encourage you tonight. I encourage every one of us. Let's walk with Jesus. Let's walk with God. Let's don't grieve Him. Let's remember and walk with the Lord.